Hello and welcome to the Untitled Leisure Project. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Graham Pirro. I am your temporary host while Danielle Hewitt is away. With me tonight is Assistant Leisure Editor Devin O'Dwyer.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
And tonight we are talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, that is the Star Wars franchise. As many of you probably know, this past week the title of Episode 8 was revealed. It will be called The Last Jedi, which I think is a great title, very mysterious, very intense. But we will definitely talk about that more later in the podcast. Right now we're going to talk about Rogue One, which came out last month. It was released to pretty good reviews overall, and it just crossed $1 billion worldwide. It was unique in that it was the first non-episodic entry in the franchise that had nothing to do with the Skywalker name. It told an independent story, very daring. But I personally, as a Star Wars fan, I had mixed thoughts about it. So let's start by talking about general thoughts about Rogue One. What did you think?
I was a huge fan, actually. I kind of went into it without any expectations and not even totally sure about where it was supposed to, like, fit in, if at all, into the whole Star Wars universe. And I was really impressed by it. It was a lot darker and grittier than I expected it to be. It definitely, in my opinion, had a different tone from some of the other films. And so I walked away kind of surprised and pleased when I had kind of no expectations going in.
Okay, yeah, and I do also think that I really like the dark tone,
yeah,
and the moral ambiguity that was at play in the story. So I was very excited for it. I had very high hopes, especially after seeing the reviews. My biggest issue with it was I really did not connect to any of the characters.
Wow.
And I think that what makes Star Wars so special isn't necessarily the story, it's the characters. And the thing I liked so much about The Force Awakens was that although the story was really derivative of A New Hope, I loved Rey, and I loved Finn, and I loved Poe, and I loved seeing Han and Chewie back on the screen. It just, I could deal with the fact that the story wasn't very good because of the fact that the characters were so great and so likable. And with Rogue One, I felt like all of the characters were kind of just cutouts. Like, I thought Jyn was, she just sort of did what the plot required her to do. Like, there's a point in the movie, within 20 minutes, she goes from mourning her father to, like, from unwilling participant to mourning her father to, like, reluctant participant and then leader of the rebellion, mm-hmm, in, like, 20 minutes. I remember the first time I saw that, I did not buy that arc at all. Her second-in-command, I can't even remember his name, the guy who shoots his source at the beginning of the movie. He's played by Diego Luna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even remember his name. That's a, like, immemorable. Like, do you remember
him? I don't remember his name. It's another one-syllable thing, right?
I think so. I just,
bad.
Like, that's how, like, unmemorable. I don't know. My favorite character in the whole movie was actually the villain, Krennic. Because I thought his motivation was very understanding. Understandable. He just wanted to get through the Imperial bureaucracy and get credit for his work. I really liked his character because he was relatable. He was very like, he stole every scene he was in. I thought his performance, Ben Mendelsohn's performance, was really good. But yeah, that was my biggest issue with the movie.
Yeah, that's interesting because I actually felt kind of the opposite. I watched The Force Awakens a couple times right after watching Rogue One, and I remembered I'd seen A Force Awakens a year prior, and when I went to see Rogue One, I was like, wow, I just loved A Force Awakens. But then when I saw it again right after Rogue One, I didn't feel as compelled to the characters as I did when I saw Rogue One. I actually thought that those characters were just a little bit more compelling to me. And I'm not sure exactly why. I think part of it was that I was surprised by the decisions that they made, and maybe that's part of the reason why you didn't like them, because you didn't feel convinced by their changes, but I sort of found that, like, surprising and sort of an interesting twist.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair, and I really liked, like you said earlier, I really liked the ambiguity, the gray areas, the fact that the rebellion, you know, had to do some evil things, mm-hmm, in order to get the plans done. And I thought the last 45 minutes of the movie were really good when they're attacking Scarif and they're actually trying to steal the plans. My one issue with that was that I guess going in, I thought it was going to be a heist movie where, you know, sort of like a very small ragtag group, like, sneaks in and it was all very stealthy.
Right.
I didn't expect it to be a full-on war film.
Yes.
Which I think sort of warped my expectations a bit. But I thought that the set piece at the end was fantastic.
Yeah. I thought that the war scene in particular was so graphic and so much longer than I expected it to be. Like, I kind of thought, okay, like, we're towards the end of the film, you know, this is really gearing up, and it just kept going, and I was like, wow, this really captures how like, it made me feel more in the moment than I think it would have if it was sort of a fast action scene like you're sometimes accustomed to in the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, and I think that that's something with The Force Awakens. A lot of the set pieces, with the exception of the ending, I think a lot of the set pieces feel kind of slick.
Yeah.
They kind of lack tension. But definitely the end of Rogue One was incredibly intense. And the fact that they killed everyone off.
Yes.
That was stunning.
That was, like, shocking
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, like, kudos to Disney.
I know. I was like, this is... That definitely to me was the biggest surprise of all. Like, I just wasn't expecting that going in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was surprisingly dark and sad overall.
And then the scene with Vader at the end.
Yes.
So that's... Okay, so this was another thing that I had an issue with, because that scene is so good. But the problem is, I walked out of the theater talking only about that scene. I wasn't talking about the rest of the movie. Because
right.
I... Like, the first time I saw that scene, it was awesome. Because we haven't seen Vader be that badass since probably the end of Empire Strikes Back. And it turned into a horror movie for 30 seconds. I love how the lights go out, and then all the rebels are screaming. Like, they can't stop him.
Like,
he just
appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, and it just, like, cuts through them. It's such a good scene, but it just steals the whole movie.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, beggars can't be choosers, and it's still a great scene.
For me, at the end, everything, and this might be that I just need to see it again, but everything kind of moved so quickly that I was like, whoa, like, there's an, they have a whole army behind them, and now there's these, you know, and now we're, like, in the, transported into this scene, that it almost was difficult for me to follow.
Yeah.
I don't know if other people, or if you felt that way.
I didn't like Jen that much, and I also, her sidekick, did you find his name by any chance?
Cassius?
Cassian,
okay.
I think that's it.
Cassian Andor.
Okay, so their death scene was, I thought it was very drawn out, and since I wasn't particularly invested in them, I was just kind of like, eh, okay, they're gonna die, like, let's get a move on. And I also was, I thought it was very funny that the Empire's way of dealing with issues is just blowing up
the whole
planet. So, when Vader, there's a line towards the end when Vader says, prepare a boarding party. Right then, I knew that the way the movie was gonna end, or at least I thought it was gonna end with Vader boarding the ship and the rebels just getting away, and then it would lead into A New Hope. I did not think they would actually include a scene with Vader cutting his way through rebels.
Yeah.
So as that was playing out, when the lightsaber activated, I thought it was gonna cut to end.
I'm
very glad it didn't, because that would have been the worst tease in the world. So I was following what was happening, and I also knew going in that it was leading right into the first few minutes of A New Hope, so it would have to have something to tie it all together.
Yeah, that, I mean, the way that they did that last scene was just incredible.
Yeah, what were your thoughts on the CGI characters?
Of Princess Leia?
Yeah.
I heard other people saying that she looked kind of weird. Maybe I wasn't, like, paying close enough attention, because I was like, oh, okay, this is happening now. I don't know why, I didn't know if it was, I guess I knew it was CGI, but I didn't, like, think it was terrible? I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought it was fine.
I thought her face was very shiny.
It looked kind of strange.
I thought it would have been fine if they'd just shown her back. Because you remember the door opens and then you just see, like, and I'm like, oh, that's Leia.
Yeah.
Okay, just go to C-3PO and R2-D2 and that's fine. I don't need to see her face. But seeing her face, I don't know. It was the same problem that Grand Moff Tarkin had, where the face looks real, but the eyes look dead. And it's just, it's like the uncanny valley. Just... Like, yeah, Grand Moff Tarkin, I thought the CG was really impressive, but his mouth moved kind of unnaturally, and his eyes were just empty and dead.
Oh.
Which works for his character, because he's evil. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see where the technology goes, and especially because Carrie Fisher, rest in peace, has now passed away.
Very interesting that they can now, like, incorporate that, you know, like, bringing back characters in that way, you know, from classic films. Like, it's just kind of interesting, that technology.
That leads us perfectly into the next discussion, which is going to be about the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
So, as I said earlier, the title of Episode 8 was released this week. It's going to be called The Last Jedi. What are your thoughts on the title?
I think this title is great. I think it's very, like you said before, like, very ominous, very... I don't know. I have a lot of... I'm not sure. I feel like all these titles are kind of... I never know what they actually mean. You know what I mean? Like, I can't piece it together until afterwards. So with this one, I'm like, I just don't know. But I think it's great.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because if you look at... Like, if you look at all the other Star Wars titles, whatever the title is happens in the movie. So, like, The Jedi Return, The Empire Strikes Back, the Sith Get Their Revenge in Episode 3, The Clones Attack in Episode 2. So, The Last Jedi, does that mean Luke or Rey, or is it plural? We don't know.
Right.
And I think that's a very...
Luke is definitely Rey's father.
I think so. I mean, I think, like, all the signs are pointing towards that. Yeah. I would have no problem if they introduced two new characters who had no relation to anyone else who were her parents.
Right.
Because the thing that I also should have mentioned about Rogue One, I like the fact that it didn't have anyone who was related to the Skywalkers. Because it shows that the galaxy is bigger than just the Skywalkers, which I actually really liked.
I like that, too. I also, this is a little off topic, but I really liked the robot in...
Yes, he was
good. He was one of my probably favorite robot characters in the franchise.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was really great and really well done.
Yeah. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, okay, it's a problem when all the best lines in the movie
are coming from the robot.
The robot character.
Yeah, maybe that says something.
But yeah, that scene did affect me, actually, I must say.
You're like, I'm more impacted by this robot, by the robot than dying, any human.
The human characters.
And I kept thinking that he was going to kind of have this character arc where he turned bad at some point, and he didn't, but I thought that might be coming.
So. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't go that route.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't, but...
Yeah. So, episode 8, what are your hopes? What do you hope they're going to do with it?
I mean, I would not be upset, I guess, since I'm expecting Luke to be Rey's father. I'm kind of expecting that they're going to kind of explore their relationship more and go in that direction. I'm hoping that there's a lot more scenes with her, and because I really liked her as a character, and sort of developing her leadership more and seeing where her relationship with him goes, if they are related.
Yeah.
Which I think they are.
I think Rey is a fantastic character. Yeah. Daisy Ridley's so
good. She's
so good. Great. And so I think I'm most excited to see where the new character, where Finn, because I
do feel... Is she the last Jedi?
We don't know. I think...
We don't know.
I theorize that Luke is going to be killed off.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
I could see that happening because... I just don't think Mark Hamill is in good enough shape to do any of that.
He probably was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, like that's the easiest paycheck he ever got for The Force Awakens. I really am excited to see what they do with Poe and Finn.
Yes.
Because it feels like in The Force Awakens, both of them kind of get shortchanged. Like, Finn never really gets a motivation for why he's leaving the First Order.
Yeah.
And Poe is just kind of there to be the cool... You know, the cool, charismatic Han Solo type.
Yeah.
Because I love Oscar Isaac, so that's fine by me. But I'm really, really excited to see where they're going. And also just, I really hope that they don't copy Empire. Like, I hope that they keep the tone of Empire, the darkness. But at the same time, I hope that they don't do the same thing that they did with A New Hope, where they just kind of carbon copied the story.
Is there anything else that you are particularly looking for?
I'm just excited. Like, I'm genuinely, I have ideas on where it could go, but I think that they have a world of opportunity here because The Force Awakens was kind of like a TV pilot in that it set the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It asked some questions, but it established the characters, established a conflict. There's a lot of different places it could go. I really like Rian Johnson, who's writing and directing it. I think Looper is a really good movie. So I'm just really, really excited.
Yeah.
Almost as excited as I was for The Force Awakens.
I think it'll be really interesting to see Rey's character development, since she has this kind of legacy that they're hinting at so much in A Force Awakens, and like to see where that goes. I mean, the scene that really sticks out to me is when she first grabs the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah,
and
the visions,
she kind of
yeah.
goes through the weird like vision. That's really intriguing to me. I'm curious to see how that sort of plays out.
Also, Kylo Ren, his arc is.
Oh, true. I forgot about him.
I love this character also. I thought he was really well developed and conflicted.
And had more of a. Like, you saw more weakness in him than a lot of the other villains, I think.
Yeah.
Immediately. You know, like, you see by seeing his face so early on, by kind of. Like, I think you see more complexity in his character, so that'll be interesting to see where that goes.
He was what Anakin Skywalker should have been in the
true
prequels.
Yeah.
I remember reading something right after the story saying that J.J. Abrams did with Kylo Ren in 40 minutes what George Lucas could not do with Anakin Skywalker in 3 movies, which I thought was very true. But I theorize that by the end of the second movie, Rey is going to have gone to the dark side and Kylo will have gone to the light side, because I think that would be a cool subversion of... Because the
genius.
Expectation, I think that
I
would
never
be really good because, you know, obviously there are a bunch of fan theories out there, but when Kylo kills Han, you know, there's still that good in him
because
he's saying he's being torn apart, and then that was supposed to be him completely accepting Snoke. But at the same time, at the end of when he and Rey fight, Rey looks like she's about to kill him before they get divided right after she knows. So Rey clearly has some darkness in her. Kylo clearly has some light in him. I just love that dynamic. That's probably the thing I'm the most excited about, is seeing where those two, because they're clearly intertwined.
Yeah.
So seeing where that goes in the next movie is going to be really awesome.
Yeah, I hadn't considered them, like, actually switching, but I hope that happens.
And I also hope they explain why Rey is so good at everything, because it is kind of distracting when you watch it. She's really good at everything
That was kind of, like, unconvincing, because it's like, oh, you've had zero training whatsoever, and you're just amazing at
everything. I could buy the piloting the Millennium Falcon, because she's a scavenger. She's probably piloted different stuff.
But the fighting skills.
But the lightsaber, I couldn't really buy that. But at the same time, I love that lightsaber fight at the end. I think it's really cool. It's cool how they build that, because you have Kylo, who gets shot by Chewie first after he kills Han, mm-hmm. shot by the crossbow, and then he has to fight Finn, so he's clearly exhausted.
Yeah.
I think they could have done a bit of a better job of showing how tired Kylo was, but, like,
he had, like, a leg. It was in his leg, right?
Yeah.
And then
I still really like the lightsaber fight at the end, because it's very raw and emotional. I think that's what the prequels missed, mm-hmm. was that they didn't have... Because even though the choreography in the prequels is really good, you don't have the same emotional investment the way, like, at the end of Empire. I remember watching Empire as a kid and being terrified by the lightsaber fight, because Darth Vader was terrifying.
Right.
And you could tell Luke was in way over his head. And I sort of got that feeling. I didn't necessarily get the same feeling, but I got the same investment at the end of the Force Awakens.
You weren't as scared.
Yeah, I wasn't quite as scared.
Genuinely afraid.
But, yeah, so I think that seeing where Kylo and Rey go, and then I hope they do something cool with Finn. I hope they give him an actual arc that gets explained.
Can we talk about Jin and Rey for a second?
Sure.
Why do you like Rey better?
I don't know. I think that Rey has a very clearly defined arc. Like, what sets her and Luke apart is the fact that Rey really wants to leave. Oh, No. Rey wants to go back.
Yeah.
Rey really wants to go back to Jakku. All she wants to do is find her family, because she's been abandoned. And Luke really wanted to leave. He hated Tatooine. He wanted to go find adventure.
Yeah.
So I bought Rey's very much the isolated scavenger. Yeah, I thought her motivation was clearly on, and it just plays out. It makes sense, because she tries to leave Taco Donna when they go to visit, mm-hmm. What's her face? The motion capture, the one in the bar.
Oh, with big eyes?
Yeah, with the big eyes. The name's going to come to me in a sec. But when they go to visit her, she tries to leave after that. But then, because
she keeps trying to go. She doesn't really want to be part of
Yeah, she keeps running away, and I think that was very... It made a lot of sense, and then she gets captured. And then she's, like, forced to escape. But then she sees Finn come and rescue her, so then she has Finn's back. And I don't know, I thought that was it was a very logical progression.
Yeah.
With Jin, I felt it was more like... We met her as a child in the first scene, and then the next time we see her as an adult, and
so you're missing a lot of.
So you're missing, and you remember Saw Gerrera, that weird subplot with Forrest Whitaker's character, the guy who doesn't have any, like, he walks, So I thought that they were gonna play up the emotional bond between those two more,
mm-hmm.
because when Saw Gerrera dies,
and then he just goes,
he just dies, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, what did we just waste the last half hour
doing?
They
could have done more of that. I was intrigued, though, by her relationship with her father the whole time. Like, I thought, especially when she realizes at the end that Cassian is planning on shooting him, I thought that was an interesting sort of twist.
Yeah, no, like, I like that scene
and
a
lot. Yeah, I think that scene was really intriguing, and I thought the whole time I was sort of wondering, like, what her relationship was and, like, where she was at with that.
Yeah. Her name's Maz Kanata, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that scene. I almost wish that they didn't bring in the X-Wings, because I thought what I liked about it was it felt tense.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know if he was going to shoot him or not, or if Rey would, or not Rey, if Jin would make it to the top to, like, save him in time.
Yeah.
So I kind of didn't like the fact that they turned that into a big action scene with the X-Wings coming in, and
mm-hmm.
obviously it was cool, but I would have preferred it if they kept it tense, because they had the big X-Wing fight at the end, which was awesome, but I think a little bit of the impact was lost.
Yeah.
But I still really, that was a good... cool twist. I just wish that it went more, like, they did something more with it. Because you never really see, like, Cassian and Jin, I think Jin, like, yells at him. But nothing happens after that, because then they go back and then they have to lead the
operation. Yeah, she has, like, this moment where she realizes that he's a killer, but I guess it's not really resolved. And then they die, so.
Yeah, and then,
now we'll never know.
Really
I don't know, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the movie, I just thought it could have been
better.
Yeah, especially all the praise it was getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I still like The Force Awakens better just because I love the characters, and I'm really excited to see where the characters go. But what I do like about Rogue One is that it proves that Star Wars can exist outside of the episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is very important. So, okay, so let's talk about the past of Star Wars, because Star Wars has quite a colorful past of some genuinely awful movies, but also some genuinely great movies. So what's your favorite of the saga?
Oh, man. I don't know. Rogue One is up there. I know that's going to be an unpopular choice, but I really enjoyed it. I think because I also saw it so recently, and that it was kind of pulled out, I think that is up there.
Okay,
I think
of another one, though. My personal favorite, I think, will always be The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that is a good Star Wars movie. I think that's a great movie overall. It's a perfect sequel. It just builds on everything A New Hope does. But it also throws our heroes through the grinder, through the ringer, and the ending is so dark, where Han Solo is frozen, Luke gets his arm chopped off, the Empire wins. What I think is lost in a lot of audiences today, and I had to read about it in an article before I appreciated it, is you remember at the beginning of Empire, there's the big battle on Hoth?
Yeah.
So the Rebels lose that battle, and at the time, that was, like, groundbreaking, the fact that the heroes lost a battle, and then they keep losing throughout the film. And I just think that's such a bold narrative choice in the sequel, where they could have just made a generic Star Wars sequel that would make money, but instead they went in.
They took, like, the risky route,
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. So what's your least favorite?
I don't know.
There's some pretty bad ones.
Yeah. There's, like, some pretty bad ones. I don't know all the titles off the top of my head, to be honest with you, so I'm gonna, like, look this up while you talk.
I would have to say The Phantom Menace is my least favorite.
Yeah, actually,
just because
Jar
Jar Binks, but also, and we have this argument a lot, actually, on The Voice, is whether or not Attack of the Clones or Phantom Menace, which one's worse? And I think
Phantom Menace is worse.
Because I think The Phantom Menace is mostly pointless. You can skip it and not really miss that much.
And it won't matter.
Attack of the Clones at least establishes that there's a clone army, and, I mean, that's
I think Phantom Menace is... what do I think?
Because Attack of the Clones has the awful romance between Anakin and Padme, which is really painful.
Yeah.
But it also has that cool subplot with Obi-Wan discovering the clone army, which I like. And
when they started getting into the romance, I was like, this is so confusing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember just being like, I don't know what turn this just took, but I am very confused
Oh, God, the dialogue is so bad.
It's so painful to watch.
Yeah.
But I didn't like The Phantom Menace either.
Well, The Phantom Menace also has Jar Jar, who is just... Every scene he's in is ruined by the fact that he's in it.
Yeah.
He really ruins that movie.
Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah, like, I remember before The Force Awakens came out, I rewatched all six movies just over the span of, like, a month. And I remember watching The Phantom Menace and going and thinking it wasn't going to be as bad as I remembered. It was worse than
That's
I remembered.
That's too funny.
Because the Gungans are awful. The dialogue is horrendous. And just the editing is awkward and weird. It's very awkward. I mean, Attack of the Clones is awkward also.
I feel like the editing in a lot of them is kind of awkward, but that's part of, like, the charm of it, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's a point where it's like, okay, this is not really, like, charming anymore, you know?
But again, because it's Star Wars, there are still redeeming scenes in every movie.
Yeah.
And, like, The Phantom Menace has that awesome lightsaber fight at the end with Darth Maul and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, which was great. And then Attack of the Clones has the clone army, and then it also has Yoda fighting Christopher Lee, which is a great
scene.
And then I actually really like Revenge of the Sith. I think Revenge of the Sith is a genuinely good movie.
Hmm.
I actually like it more than Return of the Jedi. But, yeah, I mean, I think looking at Star Wars in a critical lens, because I grew up with Star Wars, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of bad. But there's also a lot of good.
There's a lot of bad, but I think that's part of, like,
the charm.
The charm of
it.
And I mean, as someone who, like, discovered it later, I think I kind of appreciated it in a more, like, okay, this is sort of a cool historic, not super historic, but, like, this is a, you know, instead of, like, seeing it for the first time and expecting it to be a genuinely amazing movie, you know?
Yeah.
As far as, like, up to, like, I guess, the standards of what I would think if I was going into a theater now. So I think seeing it through that light made it that I wasn't like, oh, this is bad. You know, I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I'm, you know, getting into this for the first time.
Yeah.
So I think when you see it also might shift your perspective on the films.
That's fair. Yeah, no, definitely. Because I can't bring myself to say that I hate a Star Wars movie because I grew up with them.
Yeah.
And I love the films. But looking back now, I have to admit.
In retrospect, you're like, okay, this isn't,
you know,
like...
You know, The Phantom Menace isn't the best movie ever made. But I think that's the charm, is that it's cheesy. It has some really bad moments, but it also tells some of the best stories.
Those transitions. I love the transitions, the screen wipes are so funny. The screen wipes, it's like, oh, we're in a new scene now. Like,
it's like, okay, enough with that. Let's keep going. Because it's funny, because if you rewatch Attack of the Clones and just treat every transition, every screen wipe as the movie's way of saying, okay, let's kill this scene and move on, with every romance scene between Anakin and Padme becomes a lot more bearable. Because at the end, it's the movie's way of saying, okay, right, we're done with that. Please move on now. So, yeah. Okay, so final thoughts, Rogue One, Star Wars in general, the future.
Go. I'm hopeful for it. I think sometimes with these, you know, when you keep putting out films, like, to something so classic, you can kind of get lost. But I think in general, they've done a really good job with it, and I love Rogue One. I'm excited to see the next one.
Yeah. I don't think that we're going to get oversaturated by Star Wars
anytime soon. Which is something I'm surprised to say. Like, with most big film franchises that are so well-known, I think I would be a lot more skeptical of these, like, keep adding on films. But with Star Wars, I am surprisingly optimistic about all of it, you know?
Because I think if superhero movies lasted this long, and we're getting, at this point, we're getting, like, 6 or 7 movies a year. Star Wars, it's only going to be 1 movie a year.
Yeah.
So I really don't think that they're going to oversaturate the market too
much. Which is good.
Which I'm happy about. I mean, I think maybe in 5 years, ask me that question again, and I might be sick of Star Wars. But
You're not
going to
be sick of it.
I know. I don't think I can ever get sick of Star Wars. But I think that, I mean, they seem to be turning out pretty much quality products. And the thing about Rogue One, Disney's willing to take risks, which I think is really good. So thank you all for listening. You can follow The Voice on Twitter at G-Town Voice. You can follow Halftime on Twitter at Halftime GU. Do you have a Twitter?
I do. It's at Devin Odwyer, O-D-W-Y-E-R.
I don't think we follow each other.
I feel like maybe you'll follow back. I don't tweet that much.
Oh, yeah, neither do I. So, okay. Well, I'm going to follow Devin if you're a follower. You can follow me at glpiro22. Like The Voice on Facebook. Check out The Voice online at georgetownvoice.com. You can read my review of Rogue One at georgetownvoice.com also. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with us all.
Thanks, guys.